The Old Testament reading for the midweek Lenten Vespers, the second in this month, is from Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse 22. The same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our text this evening is Matthew 15, 21 to 28, the gospel lesson that was just read. The title of the sermon is Crumbs from the Heavenly Banquet. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, some people are born to wealth and prosperity. Some people are born to families with household names and political clout. Some people are born with intelligence, good looks, or talents that propel them to fortune, success, and fame. And then they're the rest of us. The story in our gospel lesson is about the rest of us and how we fare in the kingdom of God. One day, Jesus and his disciples took a trip far beyond their usual places of ministry. Jesus normally worked in the synagogues, villages, and countryside of Galilee, the Jordan River Valley, Samaria, Judea, and in Jerusalem during festivals. These were places inhabited or dominated by the Jews. On this trip, Jesus took his disciples to the province of Phoenicia, where there were very few Jews. And this is today the state of Lebanon. Verse 21 says, he withdrew, which implies a short vacation from work or retreat to rest and renew. Even as God rested on the seventh day of creation, so too Jesus rested from his labors on occasion, with his friends usually. During this retreat, a woman who lived in the region heard that Jesus was nearby. Now, this lady was neither a Jew nor a Samaritan, but a Canaanite, descended from the original inhabitants of Canaan. The Canaanites who lived in the land of Israel had been slaughtered by God's command during the conquest under Joshua. Before that, Noah had cursed his grandson Canaan with these words, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers," Genesis 9:25. The curse was punishment to Canaan's father, Ham, for failing to honor his father, Noah. Thus, for the Jews, the Canaanites were the lowest of all people, with no redeeming features except for their use as slaves. When the Canaanite woman found Jesus, she cried out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." Now, this title, Lord, indicated she believed that Jesus was of a noble class, her superior, and even her personal master. The title Son of David indicated that she believed that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. In this greeting, the Canaanite woman proved to have more insight into Jesus' identity than his own disciples. It was only later in Matthew 16 that Peter was the first among them to recognize that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus at first rebuffed the woman when she requested the exorcism of her daughter. He told her in verse 24, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Notice that he said, "lost sheep." That isn't really a commendation. It indicates that the Israelites as a nation had fallen away from the true faith in God. The Jews worshiped God in the temple, but their minds and hearts were far from him, as the prophets often complained. The Jews had festivals, but they used those festivals only to have a good time, not to honor God. They had fasts, but they used those fasts to impress people with their piety, not to spend time in prayer and the study of God's word. But in spite of all this faithlessness, the Jews were the people that Jesus was called to serve, and he stuck to that commission. In the discussion with the Canaanite woman in verse 26, Jesus used an analogy of a dinner table with children seated and eating with their parents, while the dogs were down on the floor waiting for scraps of food to fall from the table. Now, the analogy is that the children were the Jews, the parents were God, who fed them, and the dogs were the Gentiles. This woman understood the analogy and she accepted her status. She pointed out that even the Gentiles were not worthy to enter the temple courts in Jerusalem. They could still enter the outermost courts. In the Messiah's kingdom, she believed that the same would hold true. Jesus then gave the Canaanite woman praise with these words, "O woman, great is your faith." Now, only a few people who met Jesus ever received such a commendation, including another Gentile, the Roman centurion. And then Jesus spoke the words, and her daughter was instantly healed, proving his power over Satan's kingdom, and that the Gentiles were also part of God's plan of salvation. So much for the story, the true story, of course. What doctrines do we find in this text? The first doctrine pertains to evil angels, which we know as demons. Well, the Bible does not tell us much about the angels, either good or bad. They are present throughout the scriptures. The Bible gives many examples of demon possession, as well as their being cast out, as we see in this text. The king of the bad angels has many names: Satan, Beelzebub, or simply the devil. Finally, the book of Revelation in chapter 20, verses 1 to 3, depicts Satan being bound for 1,000 years and then being released for a short time. Lutherans have understood this to be referring to the preaching of the gospel, that is, the binding of Satan, which hinders the work of Satan until the last days. The second doctrine here has to do with the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles, and between the Old and the New Testaments. Jesus' personal work on this earth, you would say as a pastor, was limited to the Jews, but not absolutely, as we see in this text. His apostles would go out into the world after Pentecost and preach the gospel to all the nations, Jews and Gentiles alike. In the apostolic church, that is, after Jesus went into heaven, the Jews were always given the first opportunity to hear the gospel. As St. Paul writes in Romans 1:16, "The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles." So you see, the Jewish people had a favored nation status in God's plan of salvation. And this is because of his promises made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob — we heard about him in our Old Testament — and other children of Israel. But this does not mean that they can enter the kingdom of God as individuals apart from faith in Jesus, but that they are loved on account of the patriarchs, Romans 11:28. In fact, Romans 9 through 11 is all about this interesting relationship that the Jews have to Jesus and the gospel. For this reason, the entire Old Testament is part of the Christian canon of scriptures, and not only because they foretell of the Christ. What is the law application of this text? In verse 23, we see Jesus' disciples, who are Jews, trying to keep the Canaanite woman away from Jesus. Now here, there's a bit, maybe a lot, of ethnic and religious prejudice at work. Even so, there are many Christians today who either want to keep people of other ethnic groups out of their church, or they have no interest in converting them. Now, Carla knows who I'm talking about. You can ask her if you want the details. I had one officer in my congregation in Oak Park, Illinois, who told any visitor who was African American, Asian American, or Hispanic, or who looked like that, that they were not welcome at church. And he always stood out in the narthex and told those visitors that. Although I told him and the other officers this behavior was wrong and should stop, he did not change his behavior. Christian congregations should be open to all people of all races and ethnic backgrounds. Although we do reserve the Lord's Supper for those who've been properly trained in the small catechism and who know what they are receiving in the bread and wine. But they're always welcome in the congregation, no matter who they are. What is the gospel application in this text? First, we see Jesus' power over Satan in verse 28, as he casts out the demon with just a word. Even so, demons have no power to possess Christians who believe in Jesus and confess his name. Similarly, we see Jesus' power at work today through the preaching of the word, through baptism, the keys, and the Lord's Supper. All of these, what we call means of grace, encase the powerful Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And that's what drives out Satan and his crew and keeps them at bay. Third, in verse 28, we see that membership in God's kingdom is not conditioned on race, wealth, power, good works, or other earthly attributes, but only on one thing, and that is faith. Jesus said, "Woman, great is your faith." She was great because she feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things. Because she had nothing but faith, no earthly attribute distracted her or gave her false confidence, as if she earned God's favor. She believed in Jesus and, like Abraham, credited that faith to her as righteousness. Even so, all people who have faith in Jesus will be credited with righteousness and so be saved eternally. May you always seek the crumbs that fall from God's table in his word and sacraments, so that you too may join the heavenly banquet when his kingdom comes. In Jesus' name, amen.